Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Live on tape from the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, it's Stephen
Welcome, one and all, in here, out there, all around the world, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Folks, these are confusing times. Why?
I don't know.
That's how confusing they are. If this pandemic were a movie, it would be Tenet. It's impossible to understand, and I just wish it would end, which turns out is the beginning. Here's one source of the confusion. For about, what are we looking at? 22 months at this point, public health officials have consistently told us to do everything possible to avoid getting COVID. But in the last several days, if you've noticed, the message has shifted subtly. They're trying to make us get used to all of this. For instance, yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci addressed the current spike, and he said, Omicron will infect just about everybody. Do you hear that? Being attacked for 2 years has clearly broken Dr. Fauci. Rip off your mask, go to hot yoga. On the way home, tug a hobo. I don't give a vaccinated crap. We're all doomed. You can all take a rapid test and stick it where the sun don't shine, because it's actually more accurate right there. But there is a silver lining. According to Dr. Fauci, those who have been vaccinated will very likely, with some exceptions, do reasonably well. Okay. There are certain things I don't want to equivocate on. My life is one of them. You don't want to hear a skydiving instructor say, jump from the plane. You will very likely, with some exceptions, do reasonably well. But vaccines and boosters work, because Fauci also said that those unvaccinated are 10 times likelier to be infected and 20 times likelier to die. They're also 50 times likelier to start a fight with a Kroger employee because the Mexican food aisle is in Spanish. And when Fauci says everybody's gonna get it, Fauci may not be exaggerating, because the CEO of United Airlines said that 4% of its U.S. employees have tested positive for COVID-19. And in one day alone at Newark, nearly one-third of their workforce called out sick. Although that might not entirely be COVID-related, at least some are suffering from the pre-existing condition of not wanting to go to Newark. And it's not just America. According to the World Health Organization, in the next 6 to 8 weeks, half of the population in Western Europe will be infected with COVID. And based on the last time something spread this aggressively through Western Europe, I'm going to go ahead and say that France has already surrendered. The huge... Je suis désolé. The huge surge in COVID cases in workers combined with winter weather has emptied grocery store shelves. I went grocery shopping this weekend to pick up a few things. Made a bolognese. And I got over to the meat department. I was surprised that they were out of this one item, and it was meat. Right now, there are shortages in a lot of things, from cream cheese to paper towels, children's juice boxes, and cat food. And we do not want to run out of cat food. Because if we do, all they'll have left to eat is man. They've been waiting. Oh, they've been waiting. This shortage is hitting items in every department, including Bird's Eye frozen vegetables and Slim Jim meat snacks. Not America's meat snacks. What am I supposed to snap into now? A carrot? That doesn't look like a tube full of greasy hair. Now, naturally, that hit home. That hit home. I love us.
Like the Slim Jims.
Hey, go with it.
Naturally, this is causing prices to go up. According to the latest numbers, inflation soared 7% in the past year. It's the most since 1982. And remember, back in 82, the price of an airline ticket was so high, Americans were forced to travel via alien-powered Skybike. And thanks to pandemic-related supply problems, used car prices are up more than 37%. So the used car folks are getting rich. In fact, I saw one of those inflatable floppy guys driving a Tesla. Luxury cars are also doing very well. Rolls-Royce set an all-time sales record in 2021 for a very troubling reason. According to the company's CEO, Torsten Müller-Ottvos, whose name obviously is an anagram for Tormentor Loves Slut. Don't know why. I don't know why it is, but it is. That's true. Ottvos told the Financial Times, quite a lot of people witnessed people in their community dying from COVID. That makes them think life can be short, and you'd better live now rather than postpone it to a later date. It's all summed up in their slogan, life is too short not to look like a huge douche. I'm happy. Gotta act now. Think about it. I'm happy to say there could be hope on the horizon. Experts think Omicron may be headed for a rapid drop in Britain and the United States. Yes, the worst of it could be over by March. And by the summer, Omicron will be so out of the headlines, its publicists will book it on Dancing with the Stars. In fact, according to the University of Washington, the true daily case number has already peaked, hitting 6 million on January 6th. January 6th? That's a strange coincidence. Can we see Omicron under a microscope? Aha! More promising news, according to a recent study, COVID loses 50% of its ability to infect after 10 seconds in office air. I'm not surprised. A lot of people lose their will to reproduce when they're in a dead-end office job. COVID should try buying a fun mug or maybe a yoga ball chair. We have some good news from a source not known for it. Florida. The story starts with Governor and Dad having way too much fun at the news museum. Ron DeSantis. Earlier this week, we learned that Governor DeSantis allowed up to 1 million of Florida's COVID tests expire in a warehouse. Nothing good ever happens in a Florida warehouse. Unless you place your bets on the right coked-up snapping turtle. Luckily, the Fed stepped in to save the day because yesterday the FDA announced they've extended the shelf life for the expired test kits. This is great. Yeah, sure, give it up for expired test kits. This is great for folks down in Florida who need tests, but even better for me, because the FDA is finally confirming what I have known for years. Expiration dates are a myth, a mere suggestion. If they weren't, why would I still have this actual can of sausage that I actually keep in my actual office that is actually from the 1970s. Why do I have this can of sausage, you may be asking? Well, I was a young actor in Chicago, young and hungry, so my loving mother sent me a care package with a bunch of ramen noodles stuffed in there, and for some reason, at the last minute, she threw in this can of sausage that had already been in her pantry for at least 10 years. I remember this can as a child. Meaning the church drive looked at this can and said, no, thank you. And I have kept this can of sausage ever since. it rattles a little. And 35 years later, the ingredients sound just as delicious. Ingredients: pork stomachs, beef lips, beef tripe, beef hearts, cooked beef fat tissue solids, cereal, water, beef. Coming in at number 8, salt, flavoring, as if salt isn't flavoring enough, sodium nitrate. So thanks to the FDA's new ruling, I could open this right now and enjoy them, just like the day they were canned. But I won't, because the can on the label commands me to serve as illustrated. Not serving suggestion, as illustrated. And unfortunately, I left my can of fried eggs at home. So, to anyone watching, and especially my wife, Evie, who would not let me keep this can of sausages at our home anymore, that's why it's at my office. These are still good. And that's not me saying it. It's the Food and Drug Administration. And these sausages are definitely food or drugs. At this point, I'm gonna guess Botox. Thanks, Mom. Speaking of drugs, a new study has found what I like, I would like to think that when my mother packed that cardboard box and put that can in there, she said, this will be a good joke 35 years from now. He'll use this. A new study found that cannabis compounds stopped infection by the COVID-19 virus. Great news for all the teenagers whose parents found weed in their room. Oh, Mom, I see you found the COVID-stopping compounds that I hid in my sock drawer. Those aren't mine. No. Those aren't mine. I was just holding them from my friend, Tony Fauci. Here's how she works. Apparently, a compound found in cannabis prevents the virus that causes COVID from penetrating healthy human cells. In other words, the pot enters the body and asks COVID, are you a cell? You have to tell me if you're a cell. Now, if you're skeptical about the science here, let me remind you. This study has been reviewed by the CDC's stoner nephew, the THC. And now, that girl's clapping a little too hard right there. Now, technically, these compounds that have to be extracted from the plant and not smoked, but there's anecdotal support for the COVID-fighting properties of weed itself, because as of today, and this is true, 3 people who have yet to get COVID are Seth Rogen, Willie Nelson, and Snoop Dogg. That's why Snoop's teaming up again with trusted epidemiologist Dr. Dre for the new album, The Omicronic. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, small business, big popcorn.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
John, we got... I'm very excited to talk to our guest tonight. Katrina Balfe is here.
Yes, indeed.
Katrina Balfe. I don't know if you ever watched the. You ever see that sexy Scottish thing, Outlander?
Oh, I'm.
She's all sexy and she's all sexy and Scottish in that.
Oh wow.
And it's or actually she's English actually, but it takes place in medieval Scotland, I think. Mm-hmm. And I more than think I know because I've seen the sexiness. And she's on here. She was just nominated this morning, right, for a SAG Award for her performance in Kenneth Branagh's Belfast. Mm. Extraordinary performance. Yes.
That's amazing.
Extraordinary movie. Extraordinary movie. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, Keanu Reeves is going to be out here in just a moment to take the poll bearing question.
Neo!
As well. Folks, longtime viewers of this show know that from time to time, we here at The Late Show like to highlight small businesses across the country that can use a little boost, you know? Especially during this pandemic, right before the holidays. In fact, we even made a commercial for a small business that could use a bump in New Hope, Minnesota, called Redmond's Popcorn, that featured front of the show Nick Offerman. And because Redmond's calls itself luxury vehicle of popcorn, our ad went a little something like this.
Redmond's Popcorn. Unparalleled design. Unrivaled comfort. And able to pop from 0 to 60 in 2.3 seconds. How does Redmond's get every bite perfectly coated with flavor? Let's just say, they go the extra mile.
And our commercial worked, because the very next day, Redmond's Popcorn had a line out the door. Proving, hell yeah.
Hey.
That was beautiful to see. That's great.
Yeah.
Proving it's not only like a luxury vehicle, it's also like the DMV. And one of those customers was none other than the mayor of New Hope, Minnesota herself, whose name is, say it with me,
Kathy Hempkin.
No surprise, a lot of Hempkin heads in the audience tonight. Shop owner Zach Redman described his experience like this.
I mean, my phone literally has been hot because it just keeps calls, emails, texts, just it's crazy. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, it was great news for Zach and his business, although some of those people may have been calling to inform him that the local news had mistakenly labeled his business Redmond's Poopcorn, which is not a small business endorsed by The Late Show. Unfortunately, there was one big downside to all this attention. And it's that just 2 days after the ad aired, Redmond had to close his shop because county officials informed him that he needs to have a commercial kitchen and that it's a hazard for him to have a line of customers in his store. Yes, we all know the number one hazard at any store is people wanting to be there. That's why the safest business in America is Uncle Giuseppe's Used Retainer Shop. Now, as saddened as I was to hear this, okay, tonight I have some good news. Redmond's Popcorn has resolved their issues, is now officially back in business, and to celebrate Redmond's grand reopening, we here at The Late Show took out a giant billboard ad in Times Square. Turns out, those are very expensive. So, we did it, but we're only able to get a little amount of time by preempting a billboard for another CBS show. Take a look at what actually happened in Times Square today. Joe, a drum roll, please. There it is, and there it goes! Big moment. Crossroads of the world, baby. Crossroads of the world.
Oh, I like that.
Up in lights. Congratulations to Zach Redman on his reopening. Check out their shop or visit them online at redmondspopcorn.com. You can enjoy the popcorn eaten by celebrities like Nick Offerman and the mayor of New Hope, Minnesota herself,
Kathy Hempkin.
Everybody loves her. Redmond's Popcorn, the perfect snack to enjoy while watching Ghost, right here on CBS, Thursdays at
9 p.m.
And we want to keep highlighting other great businesses out there, so if you have a small business that could use the bump, just post to social media using the hashtag ColbertSmallBizBump and tell us what about your business makes it special. Whether you've got a funeral parlor in Paradise or an amusement park in Boring, you could be the next to get the Small Biz Bump.
Up next, Keanu Reeves takes the Colbert Questionnaire.
Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Hey, everybody. I'm back here with Keanu Reeves. Keanu, you're always great to talk to.
Oh, that's kind.
And it's always an honest conversation, an interesting conversation, but really surprising answers. Everybody loves seeing you. But here's the thing is that people think I get to know the people that I'm interviewing, and it's just a short period of time to actually sort of penetrate to the soul of a human being. And I really want to know my guests on a deeper level. And so what we did here, the Late Show Labs put together a series of 15 questions.
Okay.
After which, once these questions have been asked and answered,
yeah,
the guest is known fully.
Oh, okay? The whole thing.
They are fully
the
known.
The whole 15 questions.
15 questions, and that does
you
it.
Get
and
the
I
home
want you
and
to
go.
Know that you actually are one of the major inspirations for doing the Colbert Questionnaire, because several years ago, I asked you a question, one of the questions I'm about to ask you. I have your answer here, but I'll get to it. I just want you to know, the answer that you gave us from one of these questions, just a random question that I asked you in an interview, actually led to this questionnaire, and people will know it when I get to it.
Okay.
Are you ready to be known, Keanu Reeves?
Absolutely not.
Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
What is the best sandwich?
Best sandwich, you mean like for me? It's, or
who
what
else
is,
would you answer for?
I don't know. You could set up at your lab a whole kind of, you know, what would go into the best sandwich, balance of flavors. And,
to but, you? Well, that is a valid if hostile
for,
response.
Okay, I'll answer the question.
That is.
And I'll answer the question.
For you, to Keanu Reeves, I want to know you. I don't want to know sandwiches. I want to know Keanu Reeves. To Keanu Reeves, what is the best sandwich, sir?
Today I'm going to choose. Toasted crunchy peanut butter with crunchy peanut butter with honey.
Wow. Bold.
Yeah.
That's bold. That's
sweet
bold.
And savory.
Oh, and the Lord.
And crunch, right?
Yes. What's the one thing that you own that you really should throw out?
Oh, gosh. One thing I own that I should really throw out. I should really throw it away, Reeves. What's in your... What's that you get? It's so difficult for me to throw things away. I'm a little bit of a pack rat.
Look at your attic. Look at your garage in your mind. What
should
do you
I
see?
Throw away? Oh, I don't want to throw anything away. What should I throw away? You know what? I don't have an answer for that. It's too much.
Do you live a, do you live a Spartan life? Is there nothing? Like...
Obviously not.
All right, so nothing. Everything is essential.
It is right now.
What is the scariest animal?
Scariest animal. You know, when I was a kid, I always... spiders.
Yes, sir.
Spiders.
Yes, sir.
Spider with the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
In the
100%
in
is a good answer. That's a good answer. Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Yes. Because you can put crunchy peanut butter on an apple.
So
what
good.
A combination.
It's so good.
What a combination. Have you ever asked someone for their autograph?
Yes.
May I ask whom?
Lou Reed.
Did you get it?
Yes.
Wow.
But it wasn't for me. It was for a friend.
It was for a friend, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And he was cool about it.
Lou Reed was cool about it.
He was.
All right, how about the friend when you got him Lou Reed's autograph?
Yeah, that was cool. He was like a little piece of paper and was like blue ink. And yeah, it was good. Just said Lou Reed.
Would have been really disappointing if it didn't say Lou
I
Reed.
I know, but it could have said all my best or like, you know what I mean?
All the best. With admiration,
yeah,
Lou
with
Reed. Have a great summer. Don't ever change, Lou Reed.
Happy holidays.
I'll remember our time up at the lake. Lou Reed. Happy Hanukkah, Lou Reed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You never know. It's Lou Reed.
Okay. So this is the one that I've asked you before.
Oh, I asked for another one.
What?
George Carlin.
George Carlin, did you get Carlin's? Oh, I'm so jealous. I'm such a fan.
Yeah, yeah, he is beautiful. Beautiful, but he gave me an autograph.
Wow.
And yeah.
And that was for you?
But I don't know, I can't swear on this show, right? No.
You can swear, sure, go ahead.
No, but it was really funny, because George Carlin, he wrote, what did he write? He wrote... I think it was Dear Keanu, f*** you. Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
And I thought that was
really... That was very sweet.
Yeah, and I always thought that, like, he just wrote that for me. Yep. And then I met someone else who said that he wrote the same thing to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So this is the question I've asked you before that inspired the entire Colbert questionnaire series. I asked you, what do you think happens when we die? And you answered several years ago.
I know that the ones who love us will miss us.
Which is a lovely answer. Would you like to amend that answer in any way?
No, I don't want to amend that. You're asking me again?
No, we can move on.
Okay.
You've given me the answer.
Oh, okay.
That one's been banked. We have that one on file.
Okay. Okay.
Favorite action movie?
Oh, gosh.
And you can be in it. It's okay if you're in it.
Really?
Yeah, you can name one of your own movies.
No, but when I was a kid, Rollerball.
James Caan.
James Caan. Jonathan.
Jonathan. Yeah, sure.
Like it was, yeah, violence, a game, and philosophy, social commentary. Fantastic.
Window or aisle?
Window.
Because you don't mind getting up to go to the bathroom and making the person on the aisle stand
up
every
time
you go?
No, man, I got a view.
You got the view, okay. Favorite smell?
Today I'm going to pick my 1974 Norton Commando when the engine warms up, when you've been given a good go, the oil in the engine heats up, and the smell that comes off the engine is really good.
All right, I like it, I like it.
Yeah.
That's nice. Cats or dogs, sir? Cats
dogs,
or dogs?
Dogs? Yeah, but I'm starting to really like the cats, though, too, now.
Okay. You only get to listen to one song for the rest of your life. What is it?
One song. I'm going to take Joy Division's Love Will Tear Us Apart.
Nice. Good response over there. What number am I thinking of?
Six.
No.
Three.
No, I only get one guess. Describe
Nine.
The rest of your life in five words.
What?
Describe the rest of your life in five words.
What kind of question
is that?
It's not
a question, it's a demand. There's no question mark there.
Okay, well then I'm gonna be hopeful. Health, love, friendship, create art, motorcycles.
Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves, you are known. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keanu.
Coming up, Katrina Bounce. Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world...
It's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know my next guest from Outlander, Ford versus Ferrari, and now Belfast.
It's gonna be all right. I'll talk to the committee. Get this fixed. There'll be no more bother.
I caught sight of my face in that shop window. When I was running down the street and dragging them poor kids behind me. And I was looking in the mirror just now. At that same face. And I asked myself, what the hell am I doing?
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Katrina Bowles. again. Now, since the last time you were here, big news in your life. You have a child. You're a mother now. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yes.
That's nice. how much? This wasn't that long ago, right? It was just less than a year ago or something like that?
He's approximately? Almost 5 months.
Almost 5 months. Yeah. How much sleep are you getting?
Well, I mean, I was excited to come here, but I was very excited to sit on a plane for 6 hours and sleep. So
the red eye is a relief.
The red eye was probably the most sleep I've had in about 6-7 months, yeah.
It's one of the things I know. I'm lucky enough to have three kids, and one of the things that I know, I try to explain it to friends who are about to have kids, and I had this same experience. People try to explain it to me, but until it happens, it's all just theory. And is there anything that surprised you most that you couldn't have known until now?
Oh God, all of it. I mean, the love, the responsibility, that's all a lot. The need for mopping up, like puke or pee or the other, like it's lot of things come out of a really cute little thing. It's like, how does that happen?
Now, just today, congratulations, you are nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Award.
Thank you very much.
Well deserved.
Thank you.
And and the ensemble of the movie Belfast, which, as I said to Kenneth Branagh when he was on here, the director and the writer of Belfast, it's a heartbreakingly beautiful movie. It has just stayed with me as if I've just watched it, even though I saw it months ago. And it's such a wonderfully Irish movie. It's funny and it's sad, and it's funny about being sad, mm-hmm. which is just incredible. And
just
as someone who's
Irish people do well.
Exactly. As someone who's Irish yourself, what was it like for you to tell this story of the beginning of the Troubles in 69?
I mean, I think for everyone involved, it became very personal. You know, I know this is Ken's very specific story, but, you know, when I read it first, I felt like I recognized Ma in it. I felt like there was parallels to my mum and her, you know, journey. And also as somebody who left Ireland at 18, I felt a lot of that kind of, you know, what it is to leave somewhere and what it is to sort of lose that grounding of home and sort of be searching for it again. You know, it just spoke to me in such a beautiful way. And, you know, I think also what it has at its heart, which is so gorgeous, it has this message of tolerance, which, you know, I think especially at this moment everywhere in the world, you know, that's something we can all get a big dose of.
Yes. You know? For the people who haven't seen it yet, and for the people who haven't seen it yet, it you are the mother of a family that is a Protestant family that lives in a neighborhood where Catholics and Protestants live mixed
in harmony.
Amicably.
Yeah.
Amicably, and that doesn't go down well with those who don't want the neighborhoods mixed, want them separated.
I think as what happens, it's very, you know, divisiveness is a very cheap tool for people who want to control things and gain power, and
it's a lazy political ideology.
It's a lazy political ideology, and unfortunately, it's used far too often. And in this neighborhood, you know, where Ken grew up, Catholic and Protestant families were living side by side, no problem. There was, you know, social issues in Belfast, and there was unrest, but it came to this street, and you know, this is told through the eyes of Buddy, who's played incredibly by Jude Hill, who's just like the most gorgeous kid ever.
It's an amazing performance.
Amazing performance. And you know, the way Ken wanted to show this is, we've had lots of films about Northern Ireland, about the Troubles, that kind of deals with the ideology and the politics of it. But what Ken really wanted to do is distill it down, show how it affected ordinary, everyday people who didn't ask for it and what that effect was. And I think he managed to do that so beautifully.
Well, when Kenneth Branagh was here, he talking about the film, he said that it's about the home, leaving home and the home you take with you. Mm-hmm. And you were just saying that you have these feelings. You left a small town in Ireland, not far from the actual border up there. And I'm curious, in what ways have you brought your home with you where you go? Stays with you?
I think it ends up being the people that you gather, right? You know, I'm my husband and my son, I think, you know, that's my home, and wherever we go, we'll always have that. But, you know, I've definitely, since I've left, I think you create family wherever you go by just creating beautiful people around you. So.
More with Katrina Bound after this.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Last time you were here, you talked a little bit about the small town that you grew up in, and I'm afraid I'll mispronounce the name.
Monaghan.
What?
Monaghan.
Monaghan? Monaghan? Uh-huh. Okay. So wasn't that, it's on the border.
So it's very close. So I grew up probably about 6-7 miles south of the border.
Okay,
so
that's really close.
Really
did you
close.
Have any, in the later years of the Troubles, did you have any, what were your memories of that as a child? Did it affect you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's different. Obviously, we didn't grow up in Belfast, and that's a very different experience. But as a border child, you sort of are constantly batting up against it. And we would cross into the border all the time. We would go grocery shopping once a week there.
Better groceries up there?
Well, it was when the Irish pound was stronger than the sterling. Everyone in my town would go across the north to go shopping. And it was that kind of thing. You know, I remember, you know, my dad was a police sergeant, but my mum would normally be taking us grocery shopping. And we would sit in the back, my brother and I, and it would be all the grocery bags, and then usually, because you'd have to come through customs as well, so usually there'd be a couple of cartons of cigarettes sort of hid underneath that we'd be made sit on.
Under the children.
Yeah. My mum's going to love that I told this story, but anyway. But yeah, it was that kind of thing. You're constantly going back and forth. I mean, we used to go to the dentist in the north. Yeah, it's an everyday part of your life, and it's a constant backdrop, and, you know, the bomb scares in our town or the bombings that would happen just over the border, you know, those were sort of constant in my childhood.
You said you went to Northern Ireland, the UK, for your dentists. One thing the UK is known for, it's fantastic teeth.
Have you seen Irish teeth?
Yours look lovely. You got the right dentist.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. I think the town dentist that was a bit of an alcoholic and he had a shaky hand, so my mum used to take us over the border.
With the drills.
Yeah.
Your teeth would come out looking like Scrimshaw.
Yeah, so we didn't go to him, so.
Now, you took your mom to the premiere.
Yeah.
Which is a lovely thing. Did she have a good time?
She had an amazing time. It was the first premiere I got to bring her to, and it was really special because there is so much of my mom influenced, you know, in my performance. And, you know, she, the end of it, she was just like, oh, I just didn't want it to end. And for someone who falls asleep during nearly everything else I've ever been in, that was the biggest compliment I think I could have ever gotten.
I was saying to John before, besides this wonderful performance in Belfast, there's also the wonderful performance in Outlander, which is starting in March.
Yes.
Did I have this right? In March?
Yes.
What season are you guys coming back for?
So season 6 is airing in March, and we will be going back to film season 7 very soon.
Okay. So passionate fan base. People absolutely love it. Several people here, actually.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, what is it like to have a fan base that's sort of like a passionate and addicted and invested?
It's amazing. At times it can be, you know, there can be interesting moments, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of recently had to go under anesthesia because I was having dental surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And not with the alcoholic guy. But so I get to the place and the anesthesiologist came in and she had an Outlander mug and she was like, I'm your biggest fan. And I was like, oh, you know, this is good. She's going to really take care of me. But then we went in and she was telling me how she was going to put me under. But then she kept asking me questions about the series and like what was going to happen. And I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to tell you stuff. But then when she injected me and as I was lulling off, she started to sing the theme tune. And I was like, no, this is not what I... So So it was, yeah, that was one of the stranger.
Were you afraid you were going to wake up from the anesthetic in 15th century Scotland?
Exactly. I was going to be in her basement with just all of the, like, Jamie posters everywhere. And, I don't know.
Well, Katrina, it was lovely to have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for this extraordinary movie. Congratulations in Belfast.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount+. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on Wondery Plus, starting May 1st.